Hello everyone, my name is Elijah Dever, Minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation. Now it's not the 12th Hour. Today is July the 5th, 2025, or it's the 11th day of the 4th lunar month, 2029. We're going to do our service day taken from Two Timely Greetings, number 40, by the Vita Yehadith. And we're going to start. Sermon was given November the 13th, 1948. And he says, the well-rounded education of the Christian youth is in the three phases, the moral, the sacred, and the secular. These are obtained in the three different schools, the home, the church school, and the public school. Each of these schools has its own particularly important duty to perform for the child's welfare. For the public school teaches the child how to get along in society. The church school teaches him how to enter into life eternal. That's the home school, besides teaching him moral behavior, lays the foundation for all phases of the education. Moreover, the child not only begins life in the home, but also spends most of his time there. For the home school, therefore, plays the most important role in the shaping of the child's life. From this, we can quickly see why a broken or an unorganized, careless home can never meet the needs of a child. Only by a miracle can a child brought up in such a home become a decent, law-abiding citizen of the nation and a respected member in the church. Yes, I say only by a miracle can he climb to the top of the ladder in the society of the earth, to say nothing of his poor chances in the society of the heaven. Let me illustrate the work. He says, of the home, the farmer casts a seed into the earth, and proper conditions make it sprout. Talking about the farmer. And it sprouts and shoots its little blade through the soil To begin with, though, the tiny plant feeds on the pulp of the seed while piercing its delicate blade upward and sinking its tiny roots downward. Thus far, within the shell, the home, is the little plant, the child, and able to begin to shift for itself and getting food from the soil and sunshine from the air to maintain life. This very same principle works within the home. The child, while at home, must be gradually, at first, and then fully put on its own by the parents. If the parents fail to carry out this duty for the little child, then the child does not stand the fair chance in life, which the Creator has ordained that he should have. Examples of a good home. At this point, I shall read for you something about the successful home schools. Genesis 18:16-19. And the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom. And Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the elders said, "Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do?" Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him, for I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Yahweh to do justice and judgment, that the Yahweh may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. For it was Abraham's hospitality that brought such a great blessing to his and home, for the three heavenly guests who reaffirmed the promise of an heir, and his accommodating act of showing a heavenly guest who reaffirmed the promise of an heir, and his accommodating act of showing them the way to the city by walking some distance with them, caused the angels to confide to him the sad mission concerning Sodom. No home, therefore, should be forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Hebrews 13:2. In the verses which we read a moment ago, we are told that Abraham was to become a great and mighty nation because he would command his children and his household after the Yahweh to keep the way of the Yahweh, to do justice and judgment. For Yahweh recognized that Abraham's home was to be a model home school, and thus this patriarch of the ages became a friend of the Yahweh and a father of the faithful. For the Yahweh, you see, honors parents who run their homes right, who commands their household after him. Shall we now examine to see and to what extent Abraham was a model home school for his son Isaac? You know, was only about 17 years of age when the word of the Yahweh came unto Abraham that he should sacrifice his only son. For the father faithfully obeyed the command and took Isaac on that trying historical as well as educational journey. Not until the very last minute was he told that he was to be the sacrificial victim. But did he become upset, or did he resist when told of it? No, indeed. On the contrary, he did all that he could to comfort his father, and willingly and cheerfully had laid himself upon the altar. What does all this mean? It means that Isaac had received a perfect training in his school at home, and so he respected both the father's judgment and religion. He was submissive to his father and Yahweh, and full of the faith, showing that Yahweh's way was for his best interest. For he resolved that it would be better to die than to disobey either Yahweh or his father. We shall now go further and look for an example in the Isaac's own home to see what kind of parent and teacher he was. Esau and Jacob were his twin sons, you know, and both of them were raised in his home. If you read between the lines in this familiar Bible story, you will find two teachers and two sets of students in the Isaac's home. Isaac loved Esau, and Rebekah loved Jacob. Jacob was a helping hand in his mothers, and thereby learned how to prepare food. Let's read that again. For the Jacob was a helping hand for his mother, and thereby learned how to prepare food that was both attractive and tasty. Thus was he able to make a bowl of pottage, which sold higher than any other dish ever sold, besides learning the art of culinary art. He was intensely interested in religion and fitted himself to sit on the patriarchal throne. On the other hand, Esau was interested only in the temporal things and sacrificed his heirship to the throne for the sake of the sports and ungoverned appetite, rather than become skilled in his religion duties. He became skilled in the hunting. Consequently, the heirship to the patriarchal throne meant no more to him than the price of a bowl of potash. Now, these two youths, we see two opposing aims in life. One was given under sports, and the other unto religion. Isaac was well aware of this. But since he loved Esau more than he did Jacob, and since Esau was the eldest son, he loved Esau more than he did Jacob. And since Esau was the eldest son, he saw no reason that Esau should not receive the blessing and sit on the patriarchal throne. Rebekah, however, was quick to discern that Esau was unfit for the position, and that Jacob would make good at it. So it was that while on the one hand, Isaac instructed Esau to prepare a feast and come to him for the blessing. On the other hand, Rebekah advised and helped Jacob to impersonate Esau and obtain the blessing by taking advantage of his father's dim eyesight. This deception worked out as it did only because providence was at work. Now let us see what we have learned about the training of Esau and the training of Jacob. And since Esau was closely attached Isaac was closely attached to Esau, and Rebekah to Jacob, and since Esau was a failure, and Jacob, as you said, can it not be concluded that Rebekah succeeded in the properly schooling Jacob, whereas Isaac overlooked Esau's need of getting acquainted with the Yahweh and with the duties in the home that were his? From this comparison, I take the liberty to say that Isaac was a somewhat indulgent father, and that Rebecca was a more firm and strict mother. That true, there must have been one kind of material in the makeup of Jacob, and another in the makeup of Esau. But Esau should have been reproved. And if reproof could not help him, then the blessing should not have been offered unto him. No, firmness should never give way to indulgence. Next, we shall seek a peek into the home school which Jacob himself conducted and see what were the results, considering the fact that his family was large, 13 children in all. Then the families of his forefathers, that all of his sons were accepted to become the progenitors of the subjects of the church eternal, that his son Joseph had perfect control of himself, nurtured a forgiving spirit, respected his father, come to heaven's precept, and found favor with Yahweh and man. I say that by all these paths we know that Jacob gave his household the finest training possible. At the very least, he raised one of the greatest and the most noble characters the world has ever seen. I believe that time will permit us to consider another good home school, the home into which Moses was born. Knowing that Abraham and his seed were to sojourn in a strange land, only 430 years, Moses' mother realized that the time of the deliverance from the Egyptian bondage was at hand in her day, but the Pharaoh's decree demanded that every Hebrew male child be cast into the Nile, and so in spite of it, she determined to hide her newborn son, peradventure, for the thought he might be the one to lead the Hebrew host out of Egypt and into the promised land. And if so, Yahweh would spare him. 3 months later, though, she found that she could no longer hide baby Moses, and so rather than take the inevitable risk of losing him, she made a little ark, put the infant into it, and placed it in the Yahweh's chair on the Nile. Yahweh took charge of the situation, and the child lived. Now note, the miracle, as soon as the king's daughter saw the child, she knew that it was a Hebrew child. But rather than let him be put to death, as the Pharaoh had decreed, she adopted him. Moreover, Providence designed that the child should be raised in a Hebrew home. Thus it was that baby Moses was providentially returned to his own mother for care, and all home expenses were paid from the king's treasurer. Evidently, after witnessing all these miracles, the mother knew positively that Moses was to be the deliverer, and the home training which he was given during those 12 years with his mother, Moses never forgot, even amidst the rank and file of the world's greatest royal throne of his day. Indeed, the training one receives in the home, you see, is the foundation of his entire future. Okay, we have a new subtitle here. Examples of the bad homes is in the vivid contrast for these good homes. I shall call your attention unto one or two bad home schools and the results of them. First, I am thinking of the Lot's home, for I know that Lot was a great figure in Sodom. Really, no one would hear his plea. The night Sodom was to be reduced to smoke and ashes for the winds to carry away and for the dead the city to lodge over. No, not even his own children, who were comfortable, situated in their respective homes, would listen to him. Only two of his daughters escaped the great conflagration simply because the angel snatched them out as brands from the fire. What a failure was the Lot's home. What a great loss. The two causes underlay all that came upon him. First, because he pitched his tent towards Sodom, and second, because he neglected to bring up his household in the fear of the Yahweh. Moreover, had Lot lived into truth and righteousness, even 10 souls out of that vast population of the Sodom, he would have spared both Sodom and Gomorrah from a destruction. May I now speak unto you of another bad home, that of Eli's, the ancient priest of Israel. He, as did Lot, made a complete failure of his home. Although time and again he was warned about his neglect. 1 Samuel 2:27-35. And there came a man of Yahweh unto Eli, and said unto him, Thus saith Yahweh, did I plainly appear unto the house of thy father when they were in Egypt in the Pharaoh's house? And did I choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to offer upon mine altar, to burn incense, to wear an ephod before me, that I give unto the house of thy father all the offerings made by fire of the children of Israel. Wherefore took ye at my sacrifices, or sacrifice, and at mine offering, which I have commanded in my habitation, and honest thy sons above me, to make yourself fat with the cheapest of all the offerings of Israel, my people. Wherefore, Yahweh of Israel said, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now, Yahweh said, be it far from me, for them that honor me, I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Moreover, the days can come that I will cut off thine arm and the arm of thy father's house, that there shall not be an old man in thine house, and thou shalt see an enemy in my habitation, and all the wealth which Yahweh shall give Israel. And there shall not be an old man in thine house forever. And the man of thine whom I shall not cut off from mine altar shall be to consume thine eyes and to grieve thine heart, and all the increase of thine house shall die in the flower of their age. And this shall be a sign unto thee that shall come upon thy two sons, on Hophni and Phinehas. And one day they shall die, both of them. And I will raise me up a faithful priest that shall do according unto that which is in mine house, that's in mine heart, and in my mind. And I will build him a sure house, and he shall walk before mine anointed forever. This is who we are today, this house of David. We're this one that he's raised up in the place of Antipas Eli, brother Frederick Johnson. These verses reveal that Eli was reproved for his churlishness, and I did reprove her. I told him one day after church service, I said, Yahweh tells me that sure as Eli to your two sons. And he said, how is that? And I said, that you don't reprove them. I told him that very thing. And not commanding his household after Yahweh, for he was even forewarned of the inevitable result of his lashes, that his household, his entire posterity, would die in the flower of the age if he thus continued on. But Eli did nothing about it, and therefore suffered the result which he had been warned about. Are not these things written for our learning, for our examples? Why, then, are more homes wrecked today as a result of the bad home training, or no training, than were wrecked in the days of Eli? And strange as it seems, this catastrophic catastrophe occurs more often than not in the home where the parents are so very particular that the children not enter a public school but obtain their entire education in the school, in the church school. Indeed, the fault does not lie with the church school itself, but in the fact that the parents expect the parochial school to assume the responsibilities of the parenthood, to do that which the parents themselves fail to do. And let me tell you that this, you that be at the church, let me tell you that be at the church, true are the public school, and other ones can take the place of the home school. Besides, since the church school are largely a family affair, and to a great extent, ordered by the parents themselves, these schools already have proved a miserable failure. If you doubt this alarming statement, then poll your church membership, and to your surprise, you will find that the majority of them are the product of the public school, and that the majority of the church school graduates are out in the world. After hearing these remarks, a sister polled her church and found that 70% were educated in the public school, 27% in both public and church school, and 3% in the church school only. This is not all. You will find that the church members who are half converted or not converted are usually, if not altogether, the product of the church school. Still further, you will find that the greatest champions against the time of truth, against the meat and due season, and the promulgators of the abomination in the church are generally the product of the church school. My experience for years in the gospel work has proved to me that what I am saying is true. Do not misunderstand me. I am not accusing anyone. I am only trying to help each of you for your own good to awake to the situation and to take heed to the word of Yahweh. Soon the authorities may begin to jail the parents, too, upon the arrest and misdemeanor of the children. If the homes continue to carry on as they do, as they now do. A noted writer and authority on the social relations and problems, Leon J. Saul, S-A-U-L, has this to say in his book entitled Emotional Maturity. There are no problem children, only problem parents and problem environments. And if I now become your enemy because I tell you the truth, then will you not yourselves confirm these things? Subtitle, third one, or the second one, Yahweh's system of the education. We have now seen the results both of the good home school and of the bad home school, that we shall be most helped by looking into the system of the education which the inspiration recommended, and by making it our system for teaching the young, it is this. Exodus 12:22-27. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out at the door of the house until the morning. For the Yahweh will pass, or Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, will pass through to smite the Egyptian. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, Yahshua will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. And ye shall observe this thing for an ordinance unto thee and unto thy sons forever. And it shall come to pass when ye be come to the land which the Yahshua will give you according as he hath promised, that you shall keep this service, and it shall come to pass when your children shall say unto you, what mean ye by this service? That you shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Yahshua's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of the Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses, and the people bowed their head and worshipped. Joshua 4:5-7. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Yahweh, your father, into the midst of the Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them, that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Yahweh when it passed over Jordan. The waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. For the Yahweh, we see, sits memorials for the important things of life, so as to provoke inquiries. Parents should do likewise to create interest in the things they want their children to be instructed. Deuteronomy 6:49. Hear, O Israel, for the Yahweh our Yahweh is the one Yahweh, and thou shalt love the Yahweh, thy Yahweh, with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shall teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as a frontlet between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. For the important things of life should ever be held before the children and always in an interesting way, never in a way to make them tired of religion and never in a way that will cause the study to become a drudgery. Third subtitle, a bad tree cannot give good fruit. Both parents and children should ever remember that Yahweh is counting them, counting on them, and that they themselves can either build or restrict their futures. Thus we see most notably in the following, because the work of the Asherah was of a tremendous importance and of a great consequence, Yahweh was exceedingly particular about the parentage of the Asherah. For this reason, he chose the lineage of Abraham, a good tree of Isaac, Jacob, Judith, Jesse, David, and down through the line of the lineage unto Joseph, who became the husband of Mary. Even though Joseph was to be but a foster father to Yahshua, Yahweh was particular in choosing him. And as careful as Yahweh was about who the foster father of Yahshua should be, he was even more particular in the selection of a mother for the Asher. Thus Yahweh chose the Savior's mother from the time of Joseph, the son of Jacob. How do I know what was the parental lineage of Asher? Well, this foster father's lineage I know from the chronology which the Saint Matthew gives, and his mother's lineage I know from Moses' prophecy, which I shall now read. Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches run over the wall. The archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him, but his bough abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty Yahweh of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel, Genesis 49:22-24. Not only was Yahshua's parental lineage carefully selected, but so also has been selected the lineage of every one of Yahweh's men who were entrusted with the weighty responsibility. Why, I ask you, with such precautions be taken if the parents do not bear the most important parts in the life of the children? It must now be remembered then that so the child obtains his properly rounded education in three schools, the home, the church school, and the public school. His most important school is in the home, for the child is largely what the home makes him. The results, and it shall come to pass, if thou shall hearken diligently unto the voice of the Yahweh, thy Yahweh, to observe and to do all his commandments which I command of thee this day, that the Yahshua, thy Yahweh, that the Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, will sit thee on high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Yahshua, the Son of Yah, the Savior, Let's read that again. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Yahweh. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shalt thou be in the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket, and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. Deuteronomy 28:1-6. It would do you your soul good if you read at home about the parents' duty as set forth in the Counsels to Teachers, page 158 and 159. Testimony for the Church, volume 3, page 143 and 44. And the Children's Duty in Exodus 20, verse 12. Chapter 12, verse 2. Exodus 20, verse 12. And 2 Corinthians 6:14-18. And 1 Corinthians 6:15-20. This brings into our study for this hour. Contact us at the 11th hour call, and that's number 11. Click on our audio archive.